This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Charges of buying sex brought against Patriots owner Robert Kraft have focused public attention on the problem of sex trafficking. The International Labor Organization estimates that there are nearly 5 million people in forced sexual exploitation around the globe at any time. And that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to modern slavery. The same group estimates that 40 million people are held in forced marriages and forced labor, doing everything from domestic work to mining and fishing. Now, researchers are coming up with novel ways to find them. Doreen Boyd is an associate professor and reader in the School of Geography at the University of Nottingham in the UK, and she leads the data program at the university's Rights Lab. They've been using satellite imagery to uncover possible cases of modern-day slavery. Doreen, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Your previous work was using satellite imagery to study ecological problems like, you know, changes in forest cover, deforestation. How did you get involved in work trying to detect slavery?
Absolutely. I've been looking at, you know, land cover change and pollution and what have you, environmental problems in space for about 20 years. And then what we have at the University of Nottingham is the Rights Lab, which is quite a new lab. It was set up about a year and a half ago. And the idea behind it was to bring together scholars from all across the academies. So people with a social science background, a computer science background, a philosophy background, and all coming together to focus on one human rights issue. And the one that we're focusing on at the moment is modern slavery. So just by having that sort of set up where we can all come together to talk about this particular issue means that we're starting to spark ideas off. And one of my colleagues said, oh, I've looked at some brick kilns where we know there's a high prevalence of bonded labour in the brick belt region of South Asia. And I can see them on Google Earth. So what can we do with this information? And that kind of started our 1.5 year programme thus far on trying to identify sites associated with slavery from satellite imagery.
And you've recently published essentially the test case looking for these brick kilns and being able to find them. And in fact, being able to kind of work your way to an estimate of the number of people that might be involved at a certain site. I mean, that seems like an amazing amount of information to be able to get from a picture from space.
I think we kind of underestimate the technology that's going on around us. And we do have these Earth observing satellites that are orbiting the Earth all the time. And they have been for nearly 50 years. They've improved in their, you know, the technology. We can see more things from space with them. And the key thing with the brick kilns was we knew quite a lot of information about certain brick kilns, individual brick kilns on the ground that non-governmental organisations had informed us about, which was there was a high number of bonded labourers being used. We have families that are working for nothing to pay off the bonds that they supposedly have with the brick kiln owners. And so because we know that and we know generally that there could be, you know, up to about 80 people working in a kiln and around 80% of them could be working under bonded labour reasons. Well, what we needed to do then was to say, right, well, how many kilns in total are there? And nobody knew that. That wasn't the sort of mapping that governments do or agencies do. So we were able to use the satellite imagery that are collected, that are available to us, to make that estimate.
And how many did you find?
We found around 55,000 of them with, you know, plus or minus 5,000. So that's a lot of brick kilns, yeah.
And that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people, absolutely.
Doreen Boyd, this case of finding brick kilns is kind of the tip of the iceberg. Obviously, there are many different forms that modern slavery takes, including illegal mining, fishing, of course, human trafficking and the sex trade. How many different kinds of slavery do you think you might be able to detect with satellite imagery or for that matter, other satellite data?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and one I pondered on for quite a while. I mean, if we take the rule that you need to be able to see where the slavery is happening, i.e. the infrastructure that is associated with slavery, and then we look at the International Labour Organization's estimates of how many slaves are working under different types of slavery. As you mentioned, we have human trafficking, sex trafficking, but then you have bonded labour. And I reckon it's around a third of the total of the, 40 million plus people that are in modern slavery at the moment, we could see from space, and we could provide some more intelligence about that third than we have at the moment. So that's really exciting.
And that's, as you were saying, primarily based on being able to see the infrastructure, right? So being able to actually, I guess, see the mine or see fishermen or some of the fishing processing camps and infrastructure?
Yeah, and even fishing boats. So some of the really early work that had been done, which was the sort of predecessor to the work we've been doing, we've been focusing more on terrestrial slavery, so slavery that happens on land. But there's also a lot of slavery that happens in fishing vessels. And some of the early work has shown that, you can count these vessels, you can see these vessels from space. You can see how different vessels are tied up. They never seem to go to shore. And they're the ones that you think, hang on, what's going on here? There must be something not quite legal. So it's that sort of thought process that we've applied to terrestrial modern slavery. So the fish processing camps in the Sundarband Reserve Forest of Bangladesh. Now, these mangrove forests should be absolutely untouched. This is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Yet we know, again, from the ground, so one of my colleagues in the lab had been to Bangladesh and seen that there are these fish processing camps that are processing the fish that are caught out at sea and then brought into the fringes of the mangrove forest. These forests are cleared and children are used to gut the fish, process them, farm the shrimp and the prawns in the pools. And again, you can see that from space and you can monitor that over time as well.
What you're talking about, though, is a lot of discriminating what should be there, legal and approved and permitted land uses, from what shouldn't be there. And for a human being to do that, who knows the lay of the land, who knows the laws, all of those kinds of things, right? It's possible to look at a picture and say, hey, that's not quite right. Is it possible to teach a computer to do this in an automated way and cross-reference all that data and start in an automated way highlighting, hey, here's something that needs to be looked into?
If we can get the markers right and there are data to support those markers, absolutely, we can feed a machine an algorithm to say, have a look, trawl over the data and tell us where you think something might be happening. So we're collecting satellite imagery all of the time. So you can extract metrics from those imagery. Then, layer that with, as you say, where the permits might be for logging, for example, or mining and so on. And you can just build up the layers and then this become an automated process because, these things move around. And so we need to try and have an automated system that we can, track what's going on and maybe even predict where the next site may be. And if we can do that, that would be really, really powerful.
Doreen Boyd, your efforts and your colleagues' efforts at the Rights Lab at the University of Nottingham are gearing up, but you are not the only ones working in this space trying to use satellite data to detect slavery. And there was a recent conference in New York about this. What are some of the questions and the efforts kind of at the leading edge of this field right now?
It's the last sort of 10 miles, as they say. We can collect all of this data, but what do we do with it? How do we verify it? How do we make sure that we use it in the best way to ensure that, in the long run, that we are abolishing modern slavery and making sure it doesn't happen again? And, satellite imaging is not the only technique that can be used. So people have looked at, obviously, the dark web, Bitcoin, those sorts of things to try and again, sort of get an indicator of what might be or where something might be happening that is linked to slavery or is, in fact, modern slavery.
Of course, detecting those instances where, hey, this looks odd or that shouldn't be there. I wonder if that's modern slavery. That then needs to be followed up on the ground with some sort of investigation and enforcement. Is the infrastructure there to do that? And are you finding receptive audiences for your analyses?
Absolutely. So this is very much what we're focusing on now with the brick kilns work. So we have the mapping, and obviously we want that mapping to be used, but we need to, you know, approach that with due diligence and with ethics in mind. So we have partners, NGOs, non-governmental organisations that have been working in these areas, for instance, in India, Pakistan and Nepal, for a long time. So they know the sensitivity on the ground. They have various interventions that they're trying to deploy. This is, we hope, another layer of intelligence and information for them and evidence that allows them to do their job a little bit easier.
I want to come full circle. I mean, your prior work had to do with environmental issues. And obviously, when you see a fishing camp or a brick kiln in the middle of what should be a UNESCO-protected forest, that's both a human rights issue and an environmental issue. These two things are very connected, aren't they?
Absolutely. And this is something that we really are trying to push now in terms of thinking about policy, thinking about the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, of which there are 17. Let's not look at them each in isolation. Let's see where these connections are. Let's develop intervention policies and approaches and education around linking those SDGs where we can, and then making things much more efficient, much more robust. And if we can, you know, abolish modern slavery, that has environmental repercussions as well in terms of, you know, we improve our interactions with the environment. But also, you know, flipping that over, people tend to move into instances of modern slavery, or they can do, because of an environmental issue. For instance, flooding, climate change, wildfires and so on may move people on from their particular locality, their particular occupations. Where do they go? They may end up in an instance where they are trafficked, or in terms of the brick kilns, may end up working in urban areas where there are lots of kilns. So we need to think about modern slavery, not in isolation, but definitely linked to other SDGs. And the one that we are focusing on very much so in the Rights Lab is the link to environmental change.
Well, that's Doreen Boyd of the Rights Lab at the University of Nottingham in the UK, where they're pioneering the use of satellite data to uncover cases of modern slavery. Doreen, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed that.